Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today we're in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But this guy, he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near to him, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well, whole, complete." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So we've got very contrasting things that we want to look at this morning. Between the rich young ruler and this blind Bartimaeus, who's got nothing, he's just a beggar. Yet, who could really see well, really? Who really had the right perspective? Who really could see clearly what was going on? The rich young ruler is blinded by all his stuff. He sees something that he desires, but he really doesn't want to give up anything. Now, on the other side, we see blind Bartimaeus. He's got a healthy perspective. He was looking at everything through the eyes of his own just situation. He was humble. He was completely clothed in humility. He just looked at, he couldn't look other than, you know, through his mind's eye. And he's just in his situation, cries out in humility to the Lord, asking for mercy. Actually, he really, even though he was physically blind, he could see his total poverty in the without any contact with Jesus. He knew he really needed to be touched. He knew he needed to be healed. I think this is one of a good key to kind of our interaction. You know, we started out in this chapter with this concept of prayer. And really, this follows through with that. What is prayer? Simply thought through, what is prayer? It's our communication with Jesus, right? It's just our communication with God through Jesus Christ. That's prayer. We're communicating, expressing ourselves, and we're supposed to have dialogue. It's not supposed to be monologue, which a lot of times we do. It's supposed to be dialogue. We're supposed to express ourselves and then listen. Express ourselves and then listen. And so this guy here is just crying out with a right perspective through humility, sees himself and his desperate need of mercy. He cries out to Jesus saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Wasn't this a similar thing to what we found when we started in chapter 18? When we started, we found that there was these two different people. That one was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. One came up with all of who he thought he was. And the other one just said, "Man, have mercy on me." You know, that's a posture of humility. It's a right perspective of our need for God and to cry out for mercy, for grace, for unmerited favor, not giving us what we really deserve. And that's what we want to come to the Lord with, that heart and that perspective. But so many approach the church, they approach God, they approach other believers, they approach their life with a false sense of who they are. This guy knew who he was. He's got nothing. Literally and in every form, he's got nothing. And he's got the right perspective in his approach to Jesus. He's crying out for mercy. So that's one thought that we want to capture and say, man, am I approaching the Lord with the right perspective? Am I approaching him in humility, seeking mercy and just wanting God's ways to be done? There's those that wanted to shut him down and just get him out of the way. But notice what we found throughout the scripture regarding interaction with God. Persistence is very important. He was persevering in this situation. He cried out all the more. It didn't go exactly like I prayed last time. Guess God's not going to answer that one. No, keep going to the Lord. Keep approaching the Lord. Keep seeking the Lord. God's wanting to interact with you and interact with me and change you from the inside out. He's wanting to develop things in our lives. So the first thing is get our perspective adjusted right and approach him in humility. I know the Bible says to come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly, but it is to the throne of grace, understanding our desperate need for grace. So that's still the same lineup of perspective. It's still the right perspective. It's basically just come in, come in. You know, Jesus, it's just a direct invitation from the author of Hebrews, just a direct invitation. We're to just go into his presence. From any age, my kids were allowed to pretty much walk into my office and talk with me. Not rudely, not abruptly, but they were allowed to come in and interact with me. And I think that, you know, there's a good example that we find with the Lord. We're the kids of the kingdom, and we can go right into the throne, right into his presence, and have audience with him anytime. And I think that's a good example for us. Good for us to live that out. There's nothing wrong with listening for a moment and saying, hey, you know what? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Excuse me, I'm in the middle of something. There's nothing wrong with that kind of interaction, you know? And I think we got to keep it in the right perspective. Again, he had a good, healthy perspective, approaching in humility. But he was also persistent, man. He did not let it go. He stayed with it. I remember as a young person growing up, and it was just something that was driven into my head as a kid, because my dad used to say, and I didn't, you know, they use big words a lot. I can't spell any of them, but I understand the meaning of them. I know the words and I understand the meaning because my parents were just, they just use big words. But he's, you know, well, to me, tenacity is a big word. To many of you guys, that's just nothing. But for me, that was an expensive word that they would throw around. But I was the youngest, too, in the household. So I was a little guy listening in, you know, and my dad said, tenacity, and he never said it once. It was always three times. Tenacity, tenacity, tenacity. You got to stay with it, son. That's what my dad used to tell me. You got to stay with it. You got to stay with it. And it was like, it's just driven into my head. You just got to stay with it. And so all my life, I stay with it. I caught myself, not even really thinking that much about this. And I would be yelling at my kids while they're on the soccer field. I don't care if they're winning or losing. That never mattered to me. I wanted them to stay with it. Stay in it. That'll ring around in their heads for the rest of their lives. Stay in it. Stay with it. You know, it's that idea that there's always hope in Jesus Christ for us as Christians. I believe Jesus would call out to us, stay with it. Stay with it. You know, it didn't go my way, so I'm picking up my marbles and I'm going home, man. You know, I mean, we just pout and carry on like little babies all the time. It's not happening the way I want. You know, we're just, man. Let's get our perspective right. Let's stay with it. We've got a God that loves us, that's given his all for us. And then let's just stay with it. This guy, man, he cried out all the more. He was in need, and he asked, Son of David, have mercy on me. He did not let up, and he didn't care what anybody around him was saying or thinking. I am going to keep crying out until God meets my need. I'm going to keep crying out until God touches me. I'm going to keep crying out. Let God have his way with my life. I'm going to keep crying out. He didn't let up. We're so quick. It didn't go right, so I didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. So, you know, man, it's just not right, man. We've got to have the right perspective of who we are and who we're not and who God is. And then we've also got to have, man, that perseverance, that stay with it, that tenacity that stays in the game. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus told him, "Receive." You know, I kind of think about this a little bit. Coming when we gather together and when we sit down to spend some time in the Word and when we go to prayer, when we're looking to interact with the Lord, are we really prepared to receive? So, you know, this idea of a right perspective and then, you know, a perseverance, a stay with it. And then am I really coming in prepared to really receive whatever the Lord has for me? In other words, am I coming with an expectant heart? This guy is approaching the Lord expecting to have the Lord be merciful upon his life, to have mercy on him, not giving him what he deserves because he had a right perspective of himself. And he is expecting the Lord to be merciful with him. But I think that idea of expectancy is so important. When I gather with other believers and I have this sense of expectancy, I don't know what God's going to do. We go to some of these other events and we know that the Lord's purpose on our hearts because of our approach to ministry and just teaching through the Word, that we're doing something that's a little different as far as ministry goes than many. And so we're wanting people to have something that they might be able to hand to a friend that's got some good worship on it and then just a simple gospel message and then the sinner's prayer. I mean, they give this to a friend, and the friend could get saved just listening to it. I don't discount what might happen. And to me, it doesn't matter if I stand out there and hand out 5 million discs. It doesn't matter to me. It's the same thing as the radio broadcasting that goes on. It's the same thing. It's just the Word going out. The Bible's clear. We can stand on the promise from God. His Word goes out and it does not return void, but it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. I believe that's Isaiah 55:11. But it's so important for us to embrace that. When you're sharing with someone, that Word of God is going out and it will accomplish the purpose for which the Lord sent it. His Word, faith comes by hearing, Paul said in Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. My faith is built up as I'm hearing the Word of God. That's how my faith is really built up. That's how I'm really encouraged in my journey with Jesus, is as I hear the Word of God. That's how people come to know Jesus Christ, is because faith is stirred up within us as human beings as we hear God's Word. It just starts to cultivate and stir. You know, when I wasn't even walking with God, every once in a while I'd dial in. And I'd listen to Christian radio. I'd listen actually to my pastor, Raul. I'd think, man, what is this crazy Mexican guy talking about, you know? I had trouble even understanding half of what he was saying. But see, I knew what he was talking about. Because I used to go to the Kung Fu studio when I was about 16, 17 years old. Every once in a while, I'd get a hankering, get right with God, and I'd go down there and I'd hang out and I'd listen. I used to see him. We'd interact on our campus. He used to come and do campus ministry there at our school when I was a kid. And so I'd tune in because I just want to hear, you know, are you still out there? Are you still out there? You know, listening for the Lord, are you still out there? But that Word, as it would go out, would start to stir into my heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are you coming? Are you sitting down? Are you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing within the Word and with the Lord and throughout the course of your day, is there an expectancy that God's going to do something that day? Because he is. Again, I think perspective is so important. I think my staying with it is important. My persistence, your persistence, our persistence. And I also think being prepared to receive something from God's important too. Am I expecting God to do something today? God is always moving and at work. What a contrast this was, don't you think, between the blind man, Bartimaeus, and the rich young ruler. One went away whole, complete, saved, repaired, restored. One went away that way, and the other one went. So one went away just with gladness and excitement, and one went away very sad and discouraged. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, What was Jesus' key thing that he told the rich young ruler? Sell all that you have, come, follow me. The one guy that approached the Lord from the right way, you know, the right perspective, knew who he was, knew who God was. He had not only an expectancy, but he was persistent in his pursuit of his need. You know, God wants to continue to meet your need and my need, whatever that might be. God wants to do that. We are a work that's in progress, you know, brothers and sisters. God's shaping and molding us, conforming us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That God's shaping, God's doing that. It's a process. He loves us all the way through the process. While we are yet sinners, dead in our trespasses and sin, God loved us through his son, Jesus Christ, through the cross and what he did for us. But this guy, he went, he received his sight, he was made well, and he followed him, and he glorified God. And I love this conclusion of this. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Do you realize as God is doing things in your life and as you are expressing your thankfulness to the Lord, as you're following the Lord, as you're glorifying God for what he's done, because a lot of times it gets balled up in us and then it gets messed up. Because we start thinking we had something more to do with the process than we did. But when God's at work in your life and we can proclaim that it's God and we're glorifying God for what he's done, other people are going to see that. And as they see that, they will praise God. We find this to be true in Scripture. Let your light so shine among men that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father in heaven. And that's really what God's desire would be within all of our lives. Man, stay with it, brothers and sisters. Stay with it in prayer. Don't lose sight of what God wants to do. All things are possible with God. It doesn't matter how much people have or how little people have. When they come to the end of themselves is when we meet Jesus Christ. He's right there. Isn't it great how Jesus stands at the door and knocks? Doesn't force entry. There's no battering ram to get in. He just stands politely, knocking at our hearts, even as believers. You know, that was written, even though we use that very much to reach a non-believer. But you know, that was written to the church, to a body of believers where Jesus was knocking, wanting to come in. Shouldn't he, of all places, be welcome regularly in my heart, in your heart? Shouldn't he be invited to come in regularly? You know, we have regular Jesus visits, regular coffee and break times with the Lord in our residence, where we just kind of sit and talk with Jesus. When I had initially given my life back to the Lord many years ago now, I used to sit a chair in front of me because I knew Jesus was right there. And I did it as kind of a discipline for a while, just because I knew he was present, and I did it as a statement of faith in my heart. The Lord led me to do that. I just set a chair there and I just talked with him, just as I would talk with anybody else. And I would listen. I'd just try and listen. Now, I'm sure in the early hours of the morning, any neighbors that would look in and see me sitting at my kitchen table, interacting and see the chair sitting there and no one else there, would think that was a little odd. But you know, I drive all over town the same way. I have great conversations with the Lord in my vehicles. Just wonderful time with God. I love my wife and my kids. I love my family. I thoroughly enjoy being around them. A lot of people ask me, oh yeah, it's kind of difficult having, you know, being by yourself, you know, whenever my wife travels or is gone or anything. And you know, I think, because I had people kid me this weekend about that, but you know, yes, it's true. Yeah, I love her. I miss her. But you know what? I really enjoy my time with the Lord. I enjoy his company. He's my friend. He's my best friend. We have a great time together. I lack nothing. You know, I think one of our biggest struggles in our world today is our busyness, you know? My little beagle dog that can't talk is just a huge blessing to me. We just walk and walk and walk and walk, and I just talk to the Lord. We have a great time. And you know, I think it's so important as we see this to maybe start to model our lives after some of these things. Talk to the Lord. He loves to hear from you. And you know what? He will start to change you and change me from the inside out. And you'll start hearing from him. And he'll start giving you guidance and direction in ways and in situations. Because you know, there's nothing going on in your life that he's not interested in. He's interested in everything that's happening with you. Everything. All your struggles, all your weaknesses. And he knows all about it anyway. But you know, when we begin to interact, we start finding all the blessings that start to happen as God starts to move. No one wants your kids to grow up and be godly more than he does. Invite them into the investment that you're making in your young people. You know, no one wants them to be more pure and just a right heart for God. No one wants that more than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Invite them into the process. No one wants your marriage to go better than God wants it to go. He gave his life that we might have life and life abundantly, a good life, a worthwhile. But so quickly we discount and we think, we figure, we know what's best and we've got it all figured. I have found I know very little. I had an interaction with an attorney this week that there was some technical difficulties on something that was trying to be processed. And so as we're having this interaction, this email comes across, hey, I'm having some technical difficulties. And you know, I know their thought process. I get it. So I just shoot this email back. The Lord just prompted me. I shoot this email back. I go, hey, I know this may not make any sense to you because it's not very practical from maybe your perspective. But just so you know, I'm really praying about this. And blah, blah, blah. And I explained why I was praying about it and stuff. And I said, you know, I found that as my life has gone on, there's a whole lot that I don't know much of anything about. So, and I just leave it at that. I talk later, man, you know, was so, thank you so much for your prayers. Right after I'd gotten that email, this whole thing just kind of opened up and it worked out and I was able to get everything processed and stuff. Praise the Lord. These are our opportunities, even little silly, quick interactions like that where we get to sow God into the picture. No one cares more about that than God does. And that process. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, in the book of Acts, we learned a great little story. And I think about it sometimes when we wrap up a message like we did today and how there's just a response that kind of stirs in us when we hear God's word. You know, there was a guy that was a Philippian jailer. He was just a jail guard, and he realized that the people that he was interacting with were worshiping God and connected with God. And his response when he interacted with these guys, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." You know, God's got a plan and a purpose not only for you, but for your family, for your household, for your friends. But it begins with you giving your life to Jesus and getting right with God. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you did give your life to Jesus, but you're not walking with him. Either way, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel message, the good news that God loves you and has a purpose and plan for your life. Anyway, God loves you, and it's a simple prayer of faith. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, God will forgive you of your sin if you will confess your sin. He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Let's pray that prayer right now. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin, that you'd come into my heart and make my heart your home. I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for everlasting life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit that my life might please you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.